broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web. You're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
And good day, happy Friday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Friday for December 20th, 2024. And what will be the final episode of Fantasy Sports Friday here on HealthyLife.net? Made the announcement at the beginning of the month that I've decided to kind of move on from the show. Just a lot of things happening here at the station that I am responsible for. And thought I'd be getting a little more free time, but there's going to be some other things that this allows me to be ready for those other responsibilities here at the station. There'll be an expanded responsibility with the HRN News at 7 and some things going on with that. Sports will be a bigger part of the news at 7 due to some moving around behind the scenes. But the Friday show has been a lot of fun and, you know, a little over 2 years since we started the show. It was about a year ago in the NFL where a lot of front office people, draft personnel, and, you know, coaches in general, and the trend in the National Football League have been going to a much more air attack, passing. Quarterbacks have always kind of been the premium, but used to be a time in the NFL especially where kind of a big workhorse running back was oftentimes the sometimes Heisman Trophy winner, oftentimes a number one running back in the NFL draft. And then about, it was before last season, the 2023 season, there were a lot of running backs who were in the last year of their contract. They were talking good name, good playing, big name running backs. Saquon Barkley was with the Giants, Derrick Henry with the Tennessee Titans, Austin Eckler, member of the Chargers, Josh Jacobs, member of the Raiders, and I think Aaron Jones, who was a member of the Packers. And a few others, I just can't remember off the top of my head, but there was about 6 to 8 pretty good high-end running backs who famously had a conference call on Zoom or one of those Google Hangouts or something, and they all kind of got together and were talking about what seemed like collusion or just that the NFL owners kind of were sour on running backs. They didn't seem to want to pay the running backs the high-end numbers that these players felt they deserved, as many other professional football players, especially and athletes in general, when they get to kind of that second contract after their initial 4 or 5 years after they've been drafted. And that's usually when, you know, athletes can make what is kind of their, you know, the lion's share of their money and usually get that very big contract. They've come into the league, they've proven themselves, established themselves, and due to the fact that running back can be the most vulnerable player on the field at times when, you know, you hand the ball off and that running back is probably going to be getting hit by about 5 or 6 members of the defense on average on nearly every play. That's a lot of wear and tear on the running backs. So kind of the NFL coaching and front office were thinking, you know, these running backs, they have a shorter career span due to the high nature of injuries, and maybe we shouldn't be paying these running backs all that money. So these guys got together, the 5 or 6, maybe 8 or so, I can't remember how many, but those 4 or 5 I just mentioned, you know, all got together and, you know, did a little Zoom call, conference call, and we're bringing awareness to it. Well, lo and behold, in the 2024 season, nearly each and every one of those running backs signed with another team and has had a huge impact on helping those teams get to or very close to the playoffs this season. Saquon Barkley, he was on pace. I'm not sure if he still is on pace, but they were talking about him possibly topping Eric Dickerson's all-time single-season rushing record. you know, still have to get 100 and so many yards a game, but, you know, it was definitely possible. So also, if you happen to remember last summer and maybe watched it yourself on the HBO network, the TV show Hard Knocks, which has been going for like 25 years now, where each and every year HBO goes to a training camp and, you know, kind of follows teams behind the scenes. This year, they've done it over the last couple seasons. They've expanded it a little bit, not just spring training, but they had a off-season Hard Knocks. This season, they focused on the New York Giants, and I don't know, looking at that HBO Hard Knocks series, it was pretty obvious that I expected the Giants to have a very down year this season. Their general manager didn't seem to really negotiate or have an opinion on trying to keep Saquon Barkley with the Giants. They had spent a lot of money on quarterback Daniel Jones, which I'm going to blame the Cleveland Browns on that, who, you know, a couple seasons ago went out and guaranteed so much money to quarterback Deshaun Watson to get him in a trade from the Houston Texans. It really fast-forwarded the salary button for NFL quarterbacks. You know, basically, if one player in the league, and this could be baseball, football, basketball, hockey, you know, if someone is getting X amount of dollars, well, if there's another player at that position, that player's agent is going to investigate all the statistics into the player that is getting paid the high dollar amount and turn that around for his client, as they should do, into getting their client the highest amount possible for their contract. With that being said, Daniel Jones was a quarterback of the New York Giants, and due to the inflation of quarterback contracts in the NFL, every time a new quarterback becomes a free agent, their number since Deshaun Watson has been sky high. Not saying it wouldn't have got there eventually, it did, but, you know, the Browns paying Deshaun Watson all that money, you know, for a quarterback who, quite frankly, was not worth all that money, came with a lot of baggage, and has not really produced well for the Cleveland Browns since then. With that being said, the Giants were pretty much hamstrung with the fact they had to pay Daniel Jones an exorbitant amount of money, more than he was worth. He has since been released from the Giants after being benched, and he's been signed with the Minnesota Vikings for the remainder of the year, and is probably going to be a career backup for the remainder of his career. They had to pay him so much money that the Giants could not afford Saquon Barkley, who was a much more valuable member of the team, and good running back helps a quarterback, makes them better. Saquon Barkley signed with the Philadelphia Eagles and is having an amazing season, helping the Eagles have an amazing season. They're one of the three or four top teams in the NFL as of today. They're currently the number two seed in the NFC. That means they'll get at least a playoff home game if things kind of play out as they have been. They play Washington this week. Not necessarily an easy game, but they are favored. And Saquon Barkley has really turned things around. Another person who was in the same boat as Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, he was with the Tennessee Titans and has his free agency took him to the Baltimore Ravens, where they are currently 8-5 and are currently, if the season was to end today, it's going to end in a couple of weeks, but they appear to be a playoff-bound team as well. Chargers running back Austin Eckler, he was not offered a new contract with the Chargers, has since signed with the Washington Commanders, and was having a pretty good season up until he got injured about midway through, but, you know, having an impact as a receiver and runner. And Josh Jacobs, member of the Las Vegas Raiders, who did really well on the team that didn't do very well the last couple seasons. Well, Josh Jacobs literally couldn't wait till his free agency came up, and he left the Raiders and has been a member of the Green Bay Packers, where he replaced Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones has done pretty well for himself with the Minnesota Vikings. So all those running backs that got together have certainly turned things around for themselves. They've actually reestablished the importance of a running back in pro football. And as we get to the playoff season, it is cold. And this is when running the football becomes paramount of importance in playoff action. If you watch, tune into a game this weekend, you might see some snow. Going to see some colder temperatures. You're going to see offensive and defensive linemen getting up on the line of scrimmage, and you can see like a little hot, steamy breath coming out from those guys. That means it's cold. And running the football is what teams do when it gets to the colder latter half of the season, and until the Super Bowl, which they always play that in a warm weather place or indoors. So that's kind of changed things. Obviously, the rules in the last number of years to free up advantages for the offense in the passing game have certainly put a premium on that. And I think a couple years ago, I was watching a playoff game. It was Cincinnati and Baltimore. And the Bengals had a lead of about 10 points midway through the fourth quarter. And it was about, you know, 8 or 9 minutes left in the game. And, you know, it was a time where you think, okay, this is where offenses typically in the past and traditionally will try to milk the clock a little bit, keep the ball away from the other team, and obviously run the football and take up as much possible time possible off the clock, keeping away from the other team, get a few first downs, and, you know, maybe get a drive and a score yourself. I was watching that game, and it was a playoff, and I really had to raise my eyebrows. I was looking at that game and going, gee, it seems every time that the Bengals ran the ball, they got called for a holding penalty. Now it's, you know, first and 20, second and 17, and, you know, now they're pretty much forced to throw, which is going to stop the clock more often for incompletes and whatnot and give the opposing team more time to come back. This year there's been a premium placed back on the running game, and a lot of running backs have certainly had impacts throughout the league. One of the Heisman Trophy finalists just this last week, a running back at a Boise State, Ginty, he ran for a little under 2,200 yards this season for the Boise State Broncos, who are in the college football playoff, and they have a first-round bye. Out of the 12 teams that are in a college football playoff, I think they're seeded number 3 or 4, Boise State. And it's going to be interesting to see how they do with Ginty in the playoffs. Now, Ginty, how does he translate to being a pro prospect? Obviously, he's very fast, very shifty. And that's one type of running back that may or may not be highly successful, depending on what team drafts him and where he ends up playing. There are some teams that throw a little more to running backs or kind of run by committee, if you will. And I do understand how coaches and front office people might feel a little gun-shy about putting all their eggs in one basket and, you know, going with a big workhorse-type running back like Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry and having a few others to sort of change the pace. That was always kind of the, you know, preferred method by teams. Have, you know, a bruising running back, a big guy, you know, who's got speed, size, weighs about 230 pounds, hard to tackle. And, you know, defenses like tackling those guys less as the game goes on. So, but Genty's got a lot of speed and agility and good hands from what I know and pretty good running ability. Interesting to see where he goes in the upcoming NFL draft. And if you do pay attention to fantasy sports, the upcoming NFL draft is always a good spot to look for your future stars in fantasy football. As usually there's a good 6 to 10 rookies that come out every year that will have an impact. This year there was quite a few quarterbacks. There were 6 quarterbacks who were selected in the first 11 draft picks in this past year's draft. Caleb Williams, who won the Heisman Trophy 2 years ago. Jaden Daniels, who won it last year. Drake May, who's starting to turn things around and become a better quarterback for the New England Patriots. There was J.J. McCarthy, who we didn't get to see this season because he had a knee injury in preseason, so he's been out for the entire year for the Minnesota Vikings, which has opened the door for Sam Darnold to kind of come back and make an interesting situation for what the Vikings will do next year on their quarterback decision. Are they going to re-sign Sam Darnold to a pretty hefty free agent contract, as he's gone out and proven that he might deserve? Or are they going to let him go and let him, you know, sign with another team or re-sign him, keep J.J. McCarthy? They have Daniel Jones at not $40 million like he was getting paid with the Giants. I don't know if he's really the answer, but, you know, it's up to Minnesota to decide. We've got a quarterback who did really well. Currently, the Vikings are 11-2. They play the Seahawks this weekend. Might be a tough game. Both teams are currently in the playoff picture in the NFC. But as always, teams inside dome stadium teams have played much of their games indoors. Sometimes have an issue playing games outdoors, which Seattle is a completely outdoor stadium. Can get a little cold and wet in Seattle if you haven't been privy to that information before. Not that Minnesota's not cold, but they play indoors. So that'll be an interesting game. And what are the Vikings going to do? Are they going to sit there and go, you know, Sam Darnold did a lot better than we expected. Maybe he's our quarterback of the future, even though we drafted J.J. McCarthy. In a lot of respects, if it was my decision to make with Minnesota, I'd keep Sam Darnold. He's done very well. The team has done great. And, you know, keeping him in place certainly seems like the better decision. Now, when it comes to financially paying for people, number one, Darnold might want a lot of money. He's earned it. He's had a great season. And he signed a one-year deal, a prove-it kind of deal with the Vikings, who expected him to basically start for a year, mentor, or be there for J.J. McCarthy to kind of learn from. J.J. played with Michigan and coached Jim Harbaugh last year and, again, has been out for the season. Or do the Vikings let Sam Darnold walk, don't get anything in return, and use the money that they'll save on his contract that they won't be paying and use the rookie contract structure of the quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, and hopefully he comes up to speed within a couple years. Supposedly the organization is very high on J.J. McCarthy. So I will almost expect Sam Darnold to be one of the highest free agencies coming up in this season. Now, former Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins, who signed with the Atlanta Falcons in the offseason, he's been benched. Michael Penix Jr. is going to get his first start this weekend. It's coming at home, I believe, and they're playing the New York Giants. So a lot of things lining up for Michael Penix Jr. to have a successful debut as the Falcons quarterback. Now, it was controversial when the Falcons drafted Michael Penix. I think he was the 8th selection overall. Again, 6 quarterbacks going in the draft. He was number 5 out of the 8 selections. Then Bo Nix was the 6th first-round quarterback. The Broncos selected him right before the Raiders picked, and that's the difference between those two teams. Had Bo Nix possibly gone to the Raiders, they maybe wouldn't have such a offensive problem that they've had this year, where Bo Nix and Denver have done very well. I should mention one thing. Earlier this year, and often, I think I've referred to Coach Sean Payton of the Broncos as being a little overrated. There could be still a little truth in that, but I think most coaches that get the genius label, a lot of that comes with the fact that they have an outstanding quarterback playing with them. Sean Payton, of course, was given a lot of lofty praise because he had Drew Brees, and that got them to a Super Bowl with the Saints, and he's definitely turned things around with the Broncos. Last year, they were not even close to the team that we saw last night in a game against the Chargers, in which they lost. They had a pretty commanding lead in the first half. Chargers played a great second half. And both those teams are in the playoff picture. 3 teams from the AFC West, everyone not named the Las Vegas Raiders, currently in the playoff picture in the AFC. Now, with Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold and a few others that'll be free agents this year, that's definitely going to make things a little cloudy for the number one pick. And you know, will it be a quarterback? Will it be Heisman Trophy winner? Will it be Genenti, the running back out of Boise State? The race for number one pick in the upcoming draft for next year is becoming a little clear. There's about 4 teams, and last time we checked, that are within at least a 10% chance of landing pick number one. And those teams are the New York Giants, the New England Patriots, Carolina Panthers, and the Las Vegas Raiders. You can maybe throw in Jacksonville too, but they signed Trevor Lawrence to a long-term deal, and giving up on him would, you know, cost them a lot of salary cap issues. So we'll see how that plays out. The Jaguars and Raiders play this weekend. You know, the winner of that game certainly would be kind of closer to being out of the race for the number one pick. The loser of that game, especially if it's the Raiders, would be kind of in line for that number one pick. The Raiders supposedly have their eyes on quarterback Shedeur Sanders, son of Deion Sanders, and that falls under Oakland Raiders, Los Angeles, Oakland, and now Las Vegas Raiders ownership, Al Davis, who has since passed away about a good 10 years or so. Mark Davis's son has not had nearly the success that Father Al had back in his days. There were a number of things that Al Davis seemed to always covet in the NFL draft. You know, again, he was a football mind of the late 50s, early 60s, and didn't really change too much as the game innovated along the way. His style of football still worked up until about the 90s, when other teams became more innovative in different offensive schemes, and, you know, the old tried-and-true methods of the 1960s were no longer such a surprise for NFL teams. But there were a couple things that Al Davis always seemed to covet when it came to the NFL draft and signing players in free agency as well. Couple things. Al Davis had served as an assistant with USC, so anyone who went to University of Southern California, he liked them. Number two, anyone with fast speed, usually on the second half of the 4.5 and faster. He's very famous for drafting a lot of very fast players who maybe didn't have as many other skills. So USC and very fast. Also, Heisman Trophy winners. He loved drafting Heisman Trophy winners. So, you know, that could be the Heisman Trophy winner, also from Colorado. And he also was very high on drafting Super Bowl MVP or signing Super Bowl MVPs from the season before if that player happened to come up on free agency. And number five, he was very big on lineage. In this case, Shedeur Sanders, son of Deion Sanders, who is an all-pro. He's been a successful coach, and there are rumors that, you know, Deion, while he's turned the Colorado Buffaloes program around in a short 2 years from a team that went from one win to nine wins this season in his 2 years there. He did the same at Jacksonville State. People are wondering if he could do the same in the NFL. And right now the Raiders are almost they're a two-win team heading into this weekend. And questions about what's going to happen with them next year. Is Antonio Pierce going to be back? This time last year he was leading the Raiders to a 5-4 second half of the season since he took over as interim coach. That was enough to get him the coaching nod this year. It was about a year ago when the Raiders blew out the LA Chargers on a Thursday night game, and they scored 63 points. That game led to the firing of coach Brandon Staley and general manager Tom Telesco of the Chargers. Ironically, Mark Davis decided to hire Tom Telesco as the general manager of the Raiders. Questionable move, perhaps? We'll see. Mark Davis has said in this upcoming offseason that those two are not necessarily a pair, coach and GM, so there could be a change coming up. And one of the guys who will have a say in that upcoming change is now minority owner, Tom Brady. Now, the thing about Tom Brady, he's probably going to go with somebody he knows, and that, of course, comes with a lot of legacy and history with the New England Patriots. So it's going to be interesting for the Raiders what happens in the offseason. They're still going to be drafting very high. Whether they get the number one pick and can lock up Shedeur Sanders remains to be seen. Cam Ward is also a very highly coveted quarterback. He was also at the Heisman Trophy ceremony last week in New York City. And one other quarterback who I also think could, I believe he was at the Heisman Trophy award last week, but he's helped lead the number one team in the nation, college football, to an undefeated season and a number one seed in the college football playoff. And that's Dillon Gabriel, quarterback of the Oregon Ducks. Oregon Ducks have been quite the quarterback factory. If you look at Well, last night's Thursday night game, Justin Herbert, he graduated from Oregon, and Bo Nix played there last year and had a pretty profitable season, getting the team to the final Pac-12 championship and a bowl game afterwards. He, of course, could be a wild card when it comes up in the NFL draft. It remains to be seen. And if they do get the number one pick and they're looking at Shedeur Sanders, I would not be surprised to see Deion Sanders becoming the next Raiders coach. Whether that's a good thing for the team or not remains to be seen. But we're going to take a quick break, Fantasy Sports Friday, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the teams in line for the draft and look ahead at this upcoming week and how that's going to affect the playoffs. And fantasy sports playoffs are going on as well. We'll talk about that too. Fantasy Sports Friday, it's the farewell show here on HealthyLife.net Radio.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And we're back, Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net Radio. So, the New York Giants are definitely in line for possibly being the number one team in the draft, as they also had a rough season. Is their coach and general manager going to be back next year? That remains to be seen as well. So, that's kind of a part of the bigger picture behind any of these teams that are at the top. You also got Jacksonville in the mix, Raiders. Jacksonville with Doug Peterson, his job has been rumored to be wrapping up at the end of the season. Brian Daboll with the Giants, you know, when you have 3 years into a coaching regime that started off with a playoff berth and has gone steadily downhill since then, it definitely opens up the possibility that Brian Daboll might not be back. And general manager who didn't sign Saquon Barkley, well, his job is certainly in jeopardy as well. Let's see, who else is kind of in this? Jacksonville, the Patriots. You know, they drafted a quarterback last year, Drake May, who's playing okay. Patriots are another team, only 3 wins thus far. Rookie coach Jared Mayo, who's been an assistant for a long time. Coach Mike Vrabel, formerly Titans coach, who has not coached this year, and a former Patriot player. His name has been thrown around as a possible replacement coach just because the Patriots are not having the best of years. So those are some things that we'll be looking at in the offseason and have big impacts on your possibly favorite team coming up this year. Now, one thing that's a huge change in college football is over the last couple seasons, number one, they started forming these super conferences where I look at the Big Ten. I think there's 18 teams in the league, and they still call themselves the Big Ten. I'm just looking at you, college. That's not a very good representative for college, or you can't count. Come up with a new name for the Big Ten when it's really the Big 18. The Big 12, not much better. They no longer have 12 teams in there as well. You've got Stanford and Cal, two teams from the San Francisco Bay Area, as far left on the coast as you can get. They're even further west than Los Angeles, where UCLA and USC also started the big move. They've been members of the Big Ten this year, along with Oregon and Washington, some of the best teams from the Pac-12. That conference doesn't exist anymore. Cal and Stanford, of all places, are in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Again, they're as far left on the coast as you can get, besides being in Hawaii. So with a realignment of college football, it's been strange. There has been some good things, I think, that have come out of the realignments, and, you know, some questionable things that make it maybe tough for fans to follow. Obviously, with the conferences shifting, that's taken away a lot of regional rivalries. Some have kept going, but it's also made some impact and difficulties, mainly for travel. If you take a team, I think the Washington Huskies this year had a 9 a.m. East Coast game against someone like Penn State. They're in the Big Ten, or the Big 18, and, you know, had a couple 9 a.m. starting times, which, you know, quite frankly, is pretty early for West Coast bodies who are waking up at 9 a.m. when East Coast bodies are already at 12 or 1 o'clock and a little more awake and ready for football. I don't know anyone past the age of like 14 that gets up and plays football at 9 a.m. on the weekends. It's something we used to do, and doesn't happen much anymore. And there's traditionally, if you look statistically over the years, teams that come from the West Coast and have an early game on the East Coast, their records are not as good. So that's been a interesting difficulty. And then on the other end, I think Miami Hurricanes this year had a game where they played the Cal Bears in Berkeley. That game didn't start till 7:30 at night. And if you're from the East Coast, it's almost bedtime. I know they're college kids and they stay up late. We all did that in college, right? Anyway, you know, athletes, you know, they do go to bed semi-early and get up and, you know, got to go to school and hit the training when they're not ready for games. Anyway, starting a game at 10:30 seemed to be kind of late. And Cal ended up giving them a pretty tough game and a pretty big scare in that game. So, and again, Miami and Cal were both in the ACC conference. Strange. A team from Florida, Miami, basically as far east as you can get, you know, with the exception of maybe New England, and Cal, basically as far west as you can get, although Stanford's a little further west as they are on the other side of the peninsula and the San Francisco Bay. But some strange things going there with the realignment in college football. And one of the good things happening this year is starting tonight, and that is actually a legitimate college football playoff for the Division I level. All the Division II, Division I A, Division III, they've had college footballs going for years. And it was always curious growing up, and while this is the biggest money-making sport for colleges, although the men's basketball tournament does pretty well. And I got to say, the women's basketball tournament has increased in popularity as the women's basketball game has increased quite a bit in popularity. The tournament's helped that, and got to give it up for Caitlin Clark. I think she was named Athlete of the Year this year, as she, coming into the WNBA, put a lot of eyes on that league and got a lot of folks talking about it and excited about it that really didn't pay attention to the WNBA for pretty much since it's been in existence. So that's definitely helped colleges. But the NCAA Division I football program, every time, you know, first of all, it started with the UPI and the AP poll where coaches and writers would vote for the top teams at the beginning of the year. There'd be a preseason poll. Basically, that went into who did good last year. Okay, this team, yeah, they made it to the such-and-such bowl game. How many returning players do they have? Okay, they've got majority of their starters coming back and had a pretty positive recruiting class. So we're going to put this team at the top, even though they might not be prepared. Or, you know, this college, you throw out a name that always seems to be at or near the top, USC. Maybe they get ranked pretty high in the preseason, but as it turns out, they were overrated, maybe ranked high, and, you know, don't stay at that top level, as the preseason said. So with the college football playoff, at some point after about 6 or 7 weeks, they have a system in which they have a metric and strength of schedule, teams' one-loss records. They come up with a power ranking and have expanded the college football playoff from 4 teams, which out of 130 teams seems like a small amount, to 12 teams, which, again, is slightly less than 10%, but a good amount because it's going to take a little while to do that. With the smaller divisions, 1AA, Division II, it didn't seem that the NCAA ever really cared that the quote-unquote student-athletes had to play another 4 games at the end of the season. Yeah, it didn't matter. In Division I, well, boy, it mattered. You know, in Division I, let's just face it, it's always been minor league football. There is no real minor league football. They've tried with the XFL and the USFL, which nobody cares about in spring. I love football, but I have friends who are like, yeah, I'm watching the USFL, and I'm like, I'd rather watch grass grow. I'm not in the mood for football in the spring. That's baseball season. Maybe wrapping up basketball, maybe a little hockey. You know, as those seasons are doing those things, you know, spring football is maybe for colleges to get together and have a, you know, the black versus white in basically, you know, they split the squad and have an inter-squad game and have a spring game with, you know, members of the team. Usually bring out fans of the school, make a nice big day in the spring, and get a look at their players who they, you know, want to get in there for next year. Now, keep in mind, during the summer, most of these athletes are practicing and learning and getting ready for football, and they're not really necessarily in math class or history or any of that. It's always been nice that they get a scholarship to go to school, but let's face it, it's minor league football. People in a smaller Division II, 1AA, those football players probably more appreciative of a college education since their probability of playing in the pros much less, unless they happen to be a late bloomer, you know, maybe someone who didn't play football, so, you know, maybe started playing later in high school and still need to develop their skills. Maybe players are still growing. That's more common in basketball. Dennis Rodman was a great example. I think he was like 6 foot until his like senior year in high school, where he grew like 7 or 8 inches in the off season, and you know, opened up the possibility for him to play, you know, very small college basketball and eventually get to the pros. Lakers, Anthony Davis, also another guy who had a late growth spurt, was like 6'2", and then became 6'11" overnight. Those players had some, you know, interesting new opportunities open up as their growth happened. With football, it's a matter of maturing in size. As you get to adult men playing football, they are a little bigger, more developed than much of the college men, young men, playing the game. So there are some rules in place for athletes having to wait until their high school class has been graduated from high school at least 3 years till they're eligible for the draft, which are kind of good things. But this year's playoff starts tonight. Notre Dame and Indiana, two teams had very good seasons and two teams in the same state. South Bend, Indiana, home of Notre Dame, will be the place that college football playoff takes place tonight. Tomorrow, SMU will visit Penn State. Ohio State will host Tennessee, and Clemson will visit the Texas Longhorns. Texas is the biggest favorite over the weekend by 12.5 points over Clemson. It's probably going to be at least one upset out of this upcoming weekend with Indiana, Notre Dame, Penn State, Clemson. Penn State, SMU, Clemson, Texas. And who's the other game? I'll have to look that up. Thought I had off the top of my head, but it's going to take just a split second to get into that other playoff game. SMU, Tennessee, Ohio State, Clemson, Texas, SMU, Penn State, and of course tonight, Notre Dame and Indiana. Indiana, quite a turnaround this year. A new coach. He brought in 10 transfers from James Madison, a team that played very well last year. And that's the other thing that's changed a lot in college football, besides the realignment of the conferences. They're coming closer to actual minor league football. The amount, the NIL, or name, image, and likeness, which is a cute name for we now legally play these players to play football, has definitely changed things a lot. The transfer portal, which is a cute college name for college football free agency, has changed things a lot too. And, you know, the interesting thing with college football, I often look at fans who will, let's say they're a fan of the Raiders, and the Raiders play and they go, ah, we won today or we lost today. It's like, we're not we. They're professional athletes and you're not. Now, with college teams, there can be a little more we won or we lost, as you might be an alumni or someone who attended that school. And obviously, there's many more people who are football players we don't know about that did play for years at those schools. So they do have a touch to that university and, you know, can get away with calling them us or we, especially if they have a connection to the school. Where pro football, guarantee you, most of the guys on name any team did not come from the city that they're playing in and representing. But happy to see college football and some of the things changing, maybe for the better. And it'll be wild seeing Patriots coaching legend Bill Belichick with his 6 Super Bowls setting up camp at the University of North Carolina next season and see how quickly that program may turn around. I'm Jay Cruz. It's Fantasy Sports Friday, and that's our final episode of this show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Everybody down! Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
And we're back for what's probably going to be the final segment on Fantasy Sports Friday for today and for the run of the show. It's been a lot of fun, a little over 2 years talking fantasy sports, legitimate sports, and just kind of having a good time with sports. But can be giving this show up, focusing more on the HRN news at 7, and also some things with Backbeat Radio. That's a show that happens on the first Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific time each and every month. For more information on that, you can go to the archives and check out the December show. And definitely talk a lot about that in that episode. Upcoming this weekend in the NFL, last night was a barn burner here in Los Angeles. The two teams pretty much in the playoff race hunt. A lot of things would have to happen bad for them not to make the playoffs. The Chargers, still tough not to call them San Diego, even though they play 7 miles here from the top secret location of HealthyLife.net. Great comeback for the Chargers last night. And it was kind of cool to see Jim Harbaugh pull out what he says is his all-time favorite rule in football, and that was the fair catch and free kick, which gave the Chargers 3 points before halftime and kind of gave them a shift in momentum. So Chargers get to 9 wins, Broncos at 9 wins. Those two teams pretty much poised for, at this point, would be the final two teams in the AFC. This Saturday, Houston Texans, who are currently the number one team in the AFC South at 9-5, looking to be a playoff team as well. They will visit the Kansas City Chiefs. That game will be on NBC and Peacock app. You know, the Chiefs, they're going for 3 Super Bowls in a row. The last couple weeks, months, 6 weeks or so, they've been winning very, very, very close games. They did lose one in there to Buffalo. And Buffalo seems to be giant killers lately as they beat the Lions and the Chiefs. They're going to be a tough team coming down the end. And Buffalo, they deserve a Super Bowl. Good team, been competitive for years. And, of course, back in the 90s, they made it 4 times in a row and lost all 4. Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens this year. Surprising, Russell Wilson had a great year. He may or may not be a free agent quarterback next year. He also signed a 1-year, let's prove it, deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Took over about 3 or 4 weeks into the year as a starter when after his ankle healed, and Justin Fields done a pretty good job. Steelers at 10-4, visiting the Ravens at 9-5. This has been one of the best rivalries in the NFL for a good number of time. Kind of reminds people of the old Steelers-Raiders games. Just hard-hitting, defensive, close games that came up on the schedule each and every year. The L.A. Rams have had a good second half of the season, similar to last year. They're currently 8-6 and could be the NFC West champions. They had an important win last Thursday, knocking the 49ers down to nearly impossible playoff position. The Rams will visit the Jets. Now, I mentioned last segment about those West Coast teams traveling east. Here you go. It'll be a 10 a.m. start on the West Coast. The Rams and the Jets. And the Jets really not playing for much. They're 4-10, and a lot of changes coming up for them next year. A team with high expectations of the last 2 years, getting Aaron Rodgers and then him hurt all last year, certainly put a cloud over things, and then just not being effective this year, firing coach Robert Saleh. To find out more about Aaron Rodgers, interesting documentary just came out on Netflix, 3-part special. I watched it all the other night. Pretty interesting stuff. And whatever you think about Aaron Rodgers, at least he gets a chance to tell his side of the story. And there's a lot of interesting things to hear if you check that special out on Netflix. Philadelphia Eagles, currently one of the easily best 3 or 4 teams in the league, 12-2, visiting the Washington Commanders. Commanders have had a really good season, turning things around. Jaden Daniels, a quarterback, has had a very good year, potential rookie of the year. The Commanders have definitely exceeded many people's expectations, getting to a 9-5 victory mark at this point. They're not guaranteed a playoff position yet. This Sunday would go a big way to helping them clinch a playoff spot. Eagles are going to be a tough out. However, they were a tough out a couple years ago. The Eagles were undefeated, and Washington was the one to knock them from the ranks of the unbeaten. Talked about the New York Giants. I expect a lot of changes with them and the Jets. New York football is going to look a lot different next year. They visit the Atlanta Falcons, who are still mathematically alive. They need the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to lose quite a bit. They're starting their rookie quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., out of Washington this week. Kirk Cousins has been benched. Now, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, and Sam Darnold are 3 quarterbacks that might be changing addresses next year. 2 of which are on 1-year let's prove it deal, those being Sam Darnold and Russell Wilson, who have had good seasons, look like they're getting their teams to the playoffs. And Kirk Cousins, struggling. He signed a big contract when the Falcons draft Michael Penix Jr. There was a lot of people going, why'd you do that after you signed Kirk Cousins to all that cash? It's possible they could trade Kirk Cousins next year. If they release him, it's going to cost the Falcons a lot of salary cap money. So I would expect a trade more than them keeping him at that price. The Arizona Cardinals are still mathematically alive in the NFC West. That's been a very up-and-down, tough division, very tight. They take on the Carolina Panthers. Panthers have been playing a little bit better in the latter few weeks of the season, so not exactly a gimme for the Cardinals. Another team that plays indoors that will be playing outdoors this weekend. Battle of Ohio. Cleveland Browns, Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals have been red hot the last couple of weeks. Their offense has been putting well over 30 points a game on average. Quarterback Joe Burrow apparently got into the Santa Claus giving Christmas spirits and gave each member of the Bengals offensive line these rare katana, Japanese swords, as his Christmas gift to members of the offensive line. Cleveland is still looking at what they're going to do at quarterback. Deshaun Watson, again, completely overpaid, underperforming. Jameis Winston did add some life to the Browns, although he's a high risk for a lot of interceptions and turnovers. They're going with Dorian Thompson-Robinson this weekend and seeing if he's going to be their starter moving forward. AFC South, the Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans. Titans have just had a bad year. They're a bad team. The Colts are still mathematically alive and a little dangerous. They only have 8 losses. If they win out, there's a possibility of them getting into the playoffs. Detroit visits Chicago. These teams played on Thanksgiving Day. The Lions had a pretty commanding lead until the Bears came back and, well, had they called a timeout in the last 30 seconds, Coach Matt Eberflus might still be Coach Matt Eberflus with the Chicago Bears. He didn't call a timeout. Pretty much anyone who watches football was wondering why. He defended his action, and that costed him his job. So Chicago has been playing teams in the NFC North very close. Detroit, they've had an interesting season. They're 12-2. Their offense is a juggernaut. The issue with Detroit, all their injuries have been on defense. They've had 16 players on the defensive side who are out with injuries. Now, if you do the math, there's 11 players on offense and defense at any time. So they've lost an entire squad and half of their replacements. Yet they're still 12-2. Coach Aaron Glenn has done a masterful job in keeping them alive defensively. I wonder how much longer the Lions can still play at this high level. I mentioned the Vikings-Seahawks game earlier. It's going to be interesting. Vikings, an indoor team, playing outdoors in the cold and the elements in Seattle. Seahawks and the Rams are currently tied in the lead for the NFC West, and I think Seattle may have the tiebreaker edge right now. And I think they play one more time, which is pretty much a playoff game. The Vikings are a 12-2. You know, if Detroit loses, Minnesota could end up being the NFC North Division champion. So as much as Detroit has done great, they are still tied with the Vikings, and they will play on the last game of the season. And again, with all the injuries that the Lions have had and the fact that the Vikings and Lions are both indoor teams, that could be interesting. So we'll see if the Vikings win this week in Seattle. Again, the Seahawks tied with the Rams. That'll be a competitive game. New England with Drake May at 3-11, one of their more disappointing seasons. And, yeah, questions if Coach Jared Mayo will return. They're going to be one of the teams drafting at the top of the table next year. Probably a good pick for them would be the Heisman winner Travis Hunter, defensive back. The Jaguars and the Raiders, with this being 3 days before Christmas, this might be the day to miss this game, do some shopping, hang out with the family, and just look at the score in the box score. You got a 3-11 team in Jacksonville and a 2-12 team with the Raiders. These two teams are probably both hoping to lose so they can get a better draft choice next year. The winner of the game, especially if it's Jacksonville, would go to 4 wins. The Raiders go to 13 losses, and they'll be kind of between them and the Giants for the number one pick, guaranteeing both could get a quarterback, either Cam Ward out of Miami or Shedeur Sanders out of Colorado. Last Thursday, the 49ers lost to the LA Rams 12-6, one of the more boring, low-scoring games in it from two teams indoors playing in this late in the season. 49ers and Miami Dolphins, both disappointing this year. Both are 6-8, and they'll be playing in Miami Sunday afternoon. The Dolphins, 49ers, both super desperate to get into the playoffs with about a 1% chance each. Tampa Bay visiting the Dallas Cowboys on the Sunday night, nationally telecast game. Cowboys, like the Niners, are both 6-8 and have like a 1% chance to make the playoffs. They will need a lot of help. Tampa Bay, they control their own destiny. They are a game ahead of the Falcons. If they lose a game before the Falcons do, that could be a problem. The Falcons defeated the Buccaneers twice this season and would have the tiebreaker advantage if they both end up tied with the same record. And then next Monday, the New Orleans Saints will travel to the cold, frozen tundra of Lambeau Field and take on the Green Bay Packers. Packers look to be one of the teams in the NFC playoffs. In fact, if the division were to, or the season were to end today, let me get to the playoff brackets. In the American Football Conference, the Chiefs would have the number one seed and a first round bye as they are 13-1. Number two is Buffalo, number three is Pittsburgh, and number four is Houston, even though could be other teams with better records than Houston when the playoffs do become finalized, but they are division champion, will be seeded higher than any of the wild cards. The 5, 6, and 7 teams are Baltimore at 9-5, Chargers and Broncos both 9-6. Now the Chargers and Broncos both need a win and a loss by Indianapolis, Miami, or Cincinnati to pretty much guarantee their spot in the playoffs. Teams in the AFC that are eliminated, that's the Jets, the Browns, the Jaguars, the Titans, the Patriots, and the Raiders. Moving on to the NFC, if the season were to end today, Detroit would be the number one seed, although they and the Eagles have 12-2 records. That could change in the next couple weeks. Philadelphia number two at 12-2. Tampa Bay is number three at 8-6. Again, the Falcons still have a chance and hold the tiebreaker edge over Tampa Bay. The Rams are 8-6 and I believe hold the tiebreaker edge over Seattle, although I need to double check that. Your next three teams to qualify would be Minnesota at 12-2, who also could still end up at number one. They'll play the Lions in the final week of the season. Green Bay is 10-4. They have a mathematical chance of maybe winning the division, but it would take a lot of luck on their part. And Washington currently at 9-5. Seattle at 8-6 has a chance. They're tied with the Rams. Atlanta's one game behind the Buccaneers and hold the tiebreaker advantage. And the Arizona Cardinals, 49ers, and Cowboys still have a possible chance. And because the Buccaneers and Falcons are not exactly doing a lot to completely clinch their division, the New Orleans Saints with 9 losses are still alive. Chicago, Carolina, and the New York Giants have been eliminated. Well, thanks for listening. It's been a fun two and a quarter years of doing Fantasy Sports Friday here on HealthyLife.net, getting to play fantasy sports, getting to talk about real sports, and hopefully you have enjoyed it. Still going to be doing things here at the network, more focus on the news and the Backbeat radio show, which you can catch on Monday and on archives. Thanks for checking out Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm Jay Cruz, signing off here on HealthyLife.net Radio.